Now, some people's minds will be changed over the next 3 months, some won't. But what makes someone go from committed Europhile to arch Eurosceptic? Well, here's the director of the Institute of Economic Affairs, Mark Littlewood, and he has a soapbox.
I used to believe in the European dream, a free market, liberal, open and democratic brotherhood of man. So inspired was I by this vision that 20 years ago, I even became president of the UK branch of the Young European Federalists. But look what's happened since. With every passing year, I've had to come to terms with the European Union as it is, not as I would like it to be. The EU has become a sprawling, inefficient, petty, self-obsessed bureaucracy with a vociferous appetite for controlling nearly every aspect of our lives, however tiny. It is wonderful that we have had peace in most of Europe for over 70 years, but that has not been brought about by Eurocrats issuing directives stipulating the maximum suction power of a vacuum cleaner. Worse still, the EU has failed to tackle the big issues. Rules around the single currency have largely been observed in the breach. Only Luxembourg has abided consistently with the convergence criteria since 1999. And the migrant crisis has found the European Union badly wanting. These might be surmountable problems if the European Union had a genuine appetite to reform itself. But it doesn't. To witness the British Prime Minister staying up, negotiating until 5:30 in the morning, arguing over how he would be allowed to spend about £25 million worth of child benefit, barely 0.1% of our total welfare spending, was utterly farcical. It is true that leaving the European Union would involve some uncertainties and even a few risks, but virtually every substantial human achievement involves having the guts to go it alone. And of course, how Britain would look outside of the European Union would be up to us. Staying in doesn't mean no change. It means remaining a member of a club which has a very different agenda to that of the United Kingdom. And merely having a seat round that table, especially if that seat is occupied by a Prime Minister who has deluded himself that the EU has substantially reformed, is hardly an inspiring future. The referendum will split families, political parties, and business groups. Even my own think tank takes no corporate view and is heavily divided. But I've reached the personal conclusion that the brave, self-confident, forward-looking step to take is to vote Leave on June the 23rd.
And as if by magic, Mark Littlewood leaves the IEA and joins us here in the Daily Politics Show. You don't have far to walk, it's just around the corner.
That's right.
Welcome here. Now, when you were once the president of the UK branch of the Young European Federalists.
That's right, 20 years ago, yeah.
So I guess you didn't get out much when you were young.
That's right, yeah. I mean, it felt like a good hobby at the time.
Mark's journey, though, is not uncommon. Many people have made this journey of Mark's generation and older, who without doubt voted to stay in 1975 and now are either saying, like Mark, I'm not going to do that again, or I'm much more uncertain. So something has changed.
Something has changed, yeah. I mean, 40 years of history. Also, some of the justifications for the EU back then seem like ancient history now. The war was much more of a presence in British national life. That was a viable argument back then. It doesn't really feature at the moment in the debate. So we're 40 years on, and it's very different. I think also anyone who's ever had any dealings with the European Union tends to become a bit more sceptical of it than you were when you started. I've had some dealings myself, and you cannot help but be frustrated by its endless delays, etc., the sort of things Marx was saying. I don't myself conclude that therefore it's better to come out, because you very candidly said in the film, Mark, that there are risks with coming out. I'd be interested to hear what you think those risks are, because you're happy to run them.
I think the risks are this, that it is true that if you want certainty, about where Britain's going to be over the next 5 years, you should probably vote to remain. If your ace of Trump's card is you care about certainty, you should vote to remain. The risk would be
this. A very powerful impulse, won't it? A lot of businesses, for example.
It may be, and I'm readily conceding that out is less certain than in. So certainty is what you want, vote to remain. The risks are, what sort of trade deals could we get, how quickly? What would our relationship with the rest of the European Union look like? Would we be in EEA? Would we be in EFTA? Would we reform those sort of free trade arrangements? That is a lot of uncertainty. And big business particularly doesn't like uncertainty, right? So I'm unsurprised that most of the FTSE 100 want things as they are. Unless things are utterly terrible, the status quo is the default option for people who are doing well out of the status quo. So there would be some degree of uncertainty. I've reached the conclusion...
A lot, actually. I mean, that's an awful lot. That's a lot not to know, isn't it?
Would there not also be uncertainty in staying in?
Yes.
I can understand the argument that there would be less uncertainty staying in, because it's the status quo, but the status quo isn't going to last forever. There is uncertainty in the future of migration policy, particularly if Turkey is going to become much closer to the EU, which is already beginning to happen. So that's an uncertainty of the number of migrants that we may face from the EU. And we don't know how the Eurozone is going to consolidate itself in the future and exactly what the fallout will be for us, which could be a big uncertainty.
Yes, and if you vote out, you probably get both sets of uncertainty. I mean, the future is always uncertain, but we can't kid ourselves that we'd somehow be isolated from those problems even if we were out. I think it's still the case that I think Mark would accept this too, that the uncertainty of not even knowing what our relationship is on trade, for example, with the European Union is a huge one, and it could take us years. And there's another risk too, which we might end up pretty much where we are anyway. That negotiation might lead...
That hardly sounds like a risk.
No, it's a risk for those people who want to leave. They're making the case that actually there's a future for us which is significantly better. It may well be the case that the future for us, even if we leave, is not that different.
Well, in that case, leaving would not be a risk, right? I mean, to my mind, this goes to the kind of confidence around the United Kingdom and this sort of cling to nurse for fear of worse idea. Do you believe that the United Kingdom, in the 2 years or so that it would take for us to negotiate exit from the EU, could put in place sensible, pragmatic, improved trade deals with the rest of the EU and the rest of the world? Or do you actually think that the United Kingdom and our government, of whatever complexion it might be by then, is incapable and incompetent of doing so? It seems to me if you don't have confidence that the UK government could put these things in place, then you're probably better off to be run by Brussels. If you are confident that the UK government could put these things in place over a two-year period, then I don't really see what the fear is of leaving.
But you say run by Brussels. I mean, and you point to some irritations, though they're quite minor on vacuum cleaners, and the jury's a bit out on that one anyway. But as we go about our daily lives, in what way does the European Union impinge on us?
Well, you're right. The vacuum cleaner thing is a side issue, really. Okay, this is not substantially diminished British GDP.
I didn't bring it up.
There's an EU issue on vacuum cleaners.
I think it goes
to the nature of the beast, right? That whilst there are substantial, serious issues confronting the European Union, the stability of the Eurozone, the migrant crisis, what we actually have in Brussels is committees of people who are dealing with trivial health and safety standards. That is not necessarily a major impact on the British economy, but it speaks to the nature of the European
project. But as you go about your life today, in what way will the EU impact on what you're doing?
Well, I think virtually every consumer product that you can buy in the United Kingdom is regulated by European Union standards. So anything you buy in a shop will be dictated to some degree by European Union standards.
But what couldn't you buy here that you could buy in America?
Well, I think there are different regulations about confectionery, for example.
So it hasn't changed British.
Well, the issue is this, Andrew. You see, what I'm a bit worried about is the British government too often hides behind the fig leaf of European Union directives. It is not the case that we have a bunch of civil servants who are secret free market liberals. We will have our own regulations about it, but they will be ours, and we will be able to directly hold to account the people who are making those regulations and argue about the pettiness and change them, rather than looking across the water to a Brussels bureaucracy that frankly nobody understands and finds totally impenetrable.
All right, Mark Littlewood, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much.